What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. It is a gloomy Thursday here in New York City. But hey, Claude, how you doing? Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. I am doing good. It is, you know, I haven't stepped outside or even opened my window, so I don't know what kind of day it is in New York, but I just know I'll be staying inside. Therefore, it's not important what it is going on outside.
It's actually, this is beautiful quarantine weather because it's nothing that tempts you to want to leave your house. And so when I woke up this morning, I could see through the shades that it was a little gloomy. I got sort of pumped and I had to like rack my brain and make sure I didn't have plans to leave the house today, which I don't. And I'm stoked. Actually, you're coming over later. So
you will be leaving,
but that's later. The whole weather could change by then.
So funny. I was having this conversation with Ben last night. Cause like in the beginning of quarantine, like it was unfathomable that we wouldn't be able to leave our houses for so long. And now that, we've been in it for a while, I honestly like can't imagine life not in quarantine. And like, we just started phase one in New York. So I know that it is going to eventually come to an end. Like there's light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm like kind of sad about it. Like I don't want to leave.
No, now that there's light at the end of the tunnel, I'm sort of cherishing these last few weeks in the queue. So I feel you on that, but I'm excited for our plans tonight. That'll be really fun. Yes. We're having little G and I. We're doing a vlog, G and I, making a pizza, drinking wine, playing games, just having a fun night for Patreon and for ourselves because we really need one.
We deserve it.
Yeah, we deserve each other. This hat and you. Oh, you don't fucking know that song. I'm always singing this song from Wicked. You're both so smart.
Oh, no, I only know.
It's like, about a hat. It's about a hat.
Is it about Mrs. Hat?
Yes, and Mr. Hat. It's such a good song. I mean, it's only one part of the song that's dedicated to the hat. And it goes, you should wear this hat to the party tonight, don't you think? And I'm always telling you guys to wear this hat to the party tonight. And you guys never know what I'm talking about. But
right,
some Broadway steens are going to know what I'm talking about. And this one's for you.
Well, we have a great show. We are not recapping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because much to my chagrin, it wasn't on last night and New York is not on tonight either. Like they are on hiatus till July. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I was bummed about Beverly Hills, but I can't say I'm so bummed about New York. Like that means more time for me watching Potomac, seeing the ladies go to Bermuda. I'm so excited. I ended like right on the episode right before they're going on a trip. So I just have, the world is my oyster. Like I'm going to Bermuda today. I don't know about you.
Ooh, gotta get
Bermuda,
your
coconuts. Bahama.
Come on, pretty mama.
We've been like super musical this week. And I think that it's for the best.
You know, it's so funny. I was on the phone with Taylor Strecker last night and I realized like I was doing this thing that I used to do when I came every summer, like when I was in high school, when I would come back from camp, I like picked up on annoying habits like my bunkmates were doing. And when I was a super senior, like all the girls in my bunk just like sang, they were like, pass the towel. And I came home and I was doing it. And like my friends thought it was so annoying, like my school friends. And now I find myself doing that all the time. I'm like, this is incredible.
That's what you and Ben do all the time, everywhere. That's like a you and Ben thing, 100%. And then also what you guys do is like you constantly, we all do this, but you guys take it to another level where you like, you're like, oh, this is a sad chair. It's a Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't. There are over a million words in the English language, and honestly, like, that's too many. Sometimes you just need to combine words, you know, like a
contraction.
You have dish issues. You have a dish issues. No, you have dish issues. Like, combining, what's it called? Conjunction?
Contraction. Right? A contraction is when you do, like, cannot.
Conjunction. What's your function?
That song is, like, so
sexual. For, it's like a kid's song to, like, learn about English and, like, grammar.
It's
and
so sexual.
It's like I could see Luann in, like, a dirty cabaret bar downtown being like, conjunction, junction, what's your function?
I completely agree. Okay, so it's the act of contraction, though, is the act of decreasing something in size or volume or quantity or scope. So it's being contracted into one word. Therefore, it is a contraction.
Okay, well, everyone should do it more because I love
the more you know.
Words. It's a sad chair. It's a stair.
Yeah, good times.
These are white curtains. Wurtons.
Yeah, no, you guys just do it with everything, and that's just what you do. That's
I'm a cool girl.
What you
girls do.
That's what
they'll
girls.
Keep you guessing the whole day through. Play your emotions, push all your buttons, it's true.
That's what girls do.
Yes, what song, what movie is that from?
Something stellar from the 90s.
That, like, genre of, like, female band 90s movie music. Like, I wanna be that girl who has everything. I wanna reach that bell. I'm gonna make it ring. I'm gonna fly like a bird and spread my wings. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Give me everything.
Me everything.
Like, that, play that at my funeral, please, okay?
100%.
Like, when they're bringing in the casket, like, I want all the pallbearers to be like,
you want
she's
everyone to
be that girl who has it, like, fist bumping.
The pallbearers will, like, arrange a harmony, so it's gonna be like maybe a round where they're like, she's gonna be that girl, she's gonna be that.
No, I mean, it's gonna be tasteful, obviously.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll
oversee.
Head out. I'll oversee the musical.
She'll be the funeral
department.
Director.
Yes, exactly. Can't wait. Oh. Cool. Well, we have a great show for you today. As Claudia had said, speaking of other great shows, new episode of The Redheads is up. We are recapping Codename Helene, which has, I think is my favorite book we've ever read in The Redheads so far. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I loved it. It's a true story of a fabulous, incredible woman. I know we hate the word, like, boss bitch, but she was everything of the sort in that way. And
no, Jackie, we are self-hating boss bitches. Like,
100%.
You could call us boss bitches. Like, we are bosses and we are bitches.
But please don't.
Please.
But you could. But you could. Don't.
Please.
But no, she's an amazing French woman who was a member of the French Resistance, like, spying and really helped win the war in World War II. It's an amazing story. So, If you are on the fence about reading it, definitely read it. Listen to the episode. And now I'm so excited to read our next book, which is I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode if you're partaking this month. But I recommend that you partake if you ever sometimes partake in the Redheads.
Yeah, partaking is particularly interesting.
Yeah, I do love to partake.
Okay, should we dive right in?
Yeah, I'm off the deep end. Watch as I dive in to the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Yes, Jackie, that is true. But, you know, I've been getting actually so many DMs about people being like, what was that company that you guys spoke about on the toast that takes, like, your photos and your old home videos and digitizes them for you? And with Father's Day coming up, it is the perfect time to talk about Legacy Box, a very simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or in the cloud. If you have some of your favorite memories with your dad for Father's Day coming up, like him teaching you how to ride a bike, father-daughter dance at your wedding, make sure you can get your Legacy Box for your dad, because that's, like, such a good gift for dads.
Totally.
Legacy Box helps bring new life into your old media by unlocking those trapped family memories and putting them on a modern digital format that's easy to use. It's ensuring that your family's legacy is digitally preserved so it can be passed down, which is just as important as creating those memories. Legacy Box is way is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is super easy. You pack and send all your materials. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and then you enjoy. Get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Plus, they keep you up to date with regular email updates throughout the process. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home videos and photos and has helped over 750,000 families digitally preserve the past. Rediscover your glory days by digitizing these irreplaceable heirlooms with Legacy Box. Win the favorite kid award this Father's Day and give Dad a present he'll never forget. Get started preserving your family's legacy. Go to legacybox.com/toast to get an incredible 50% off your first order. Buy today and take advantage of this exclusive offer. Send in when you're ready. Legacy Box is great for you or someone you love. Go to legacybox.com/toast to save 50% off while supplies last. So like we said, a great gift for Father's Day, which is coming up. And if you are lucky enough to have a dad, he might really like this.
Yes, sign on, get a great gift for Father's Day, or sign on and get your memories right.
Or get it for yourself.
100%.
Treat yourself.
Like, this is a gift, but it's also an essential.
You know, it's one of those things like you get for someone, but you know, like you're going to be the one using it.
Yeah, no, it's like everyone should have one. So yes, it's a gift, but I'm just getting you something you should have.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, first story, piggybacking off of the big news from yesterday, but Lisa Vanderpump is speaking out after four Vanderpump Rules stars were fired. She said, quote, "I condemn all forms of racism." Quote, this is from her statement, "Over the past 2 weeks, many things have been brought to my attention of which I and many others were previously unaware. It was necessary for me to be quiet until now, until decisions had been made. Now I can speak freely from the heart," she said. She referenced the recent tragedies in the world, including the death of George Floyd while in police custody and the coronavirus pandemic. She said, "As we've seen such devastating sadness that has played out globally, we all have a part to play to create a kinder, more just society. My hope is for this generation to treat each other with respect and humanity and realize that actions have and should have consequences." She talks a little bit about her business and how I think she's addressing some of these claims that, you know, the show is not diverse at all. And she says that she has a lot of different people from different backgrounds that work in her restaurants, but the show focuses on this one group of friends.
Okay, well, like, that's not what we asked. We know that your restaurants are quote-unquote diverse. Honestly, like, this is a nice statement, but I feel like it totally missed the mark on what people are upset with her about, and that is, one, the lack of diversity on the show, and two, some of the claims that Faith had to say about Lisa Vanderpump. She had choice words for Lisa and said that at one point Lisa told her to act like NeNe Leakes.
Yeah, so she did not address that. She just sort of discussed what's been going on in her show and in her world and in the world in general. I think generally speaking, it was a very warm statement. She's not dragging any of the people who used to work for her, but she's also not condoning what they did in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, the statement was, I didn't learn anything new. And it definitely felt like she had to say something because there's so much conversation being had, like, around her show and her restaurants. But I don't really feel like it accomplished anything or really gave me any answers in terms of Lisa's involvement. It just seemed like she kind of took herself out of the equation.
I think that she's not in the equation at all.
No, I mean, but she is. I mean, Faith had something to say about her.
Yeah, and also she is in the equation. Like, when she wants someone to be fired, but I guess Kristen and Sassy never worked at her restaurants. Like, she fired James when she thought that he needed to be fired. So she does have the power over her restaurants, but not over the show.
I think that she definitely has power over the restaurants. I do think she has a lot to say. I think, like, her voice is heard when it comes to casting, hiring, firing on the show. I definitely think she has input.
I'm not sure. I'm not totally convinced. It would make sense if she did, but I could also see how she might not. Additionally, Andy Cohen broke his silence on Stassi and Kristen being fired. He said, quote, "There's so much happening in the Bravo universe. I will say this, there's so much to talk about Vanderpump Rules." And then, of course, the reunion ended up airing last night. He said this on his radio show. He said, "I will say this about what happened. I absolutely support Bravo's decision. I think it was the right decision. And I want to remind people, because I've been getting so many tweets and messages about Vanderpump Rules and Southern Charm and other shows. I feel like I have to remind people of this all the time. I'm not in charge of programming at Bravo anymore. I am not an executive producer of Vanderpump Rules. I don't have anything to do with the show except I love it and I host the reunions. I don't produce the show. So what I want people to know is that I have no say in hiring and firing. I had completely forgotten that. Like, I just associate Bravo with Andy and like that he is the head of Bravo. And he's told us so many times that he is no longer, but that just like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even if it's not a Housewives show, like, I know he slaps his name on as an executive producer, which I think is just a part of his deal with his production company and Bravo. But I do think that was important for people to remind him, because Bravo fans, especially like the crazy ones on Twitter, like, they take their pitchforks to Andy's profile when they're unhappy about something, when at the end of the day, like, he's actually not the person making these decisions. So I think it was very important for people to, for him to remind people of that.
Yeah, I needed to be reminded for sure, because when I think about Bravo making decisions about Stassi and Chris, and like, I think Andy's in the room and but does Andy like them? What does Andy think? And it really Andy is talent just like them.
Yeah. And I think that part of the confusion comes from like him also being the host of Watch What Happens Live. Like, he doesn't only have the Housewives on Watch What Happens Live. He has Southern Charm. He has Vanderpump Rules. So it is confusing. And I see why people think of him as like the punching bag.
No, but it's also like he does the reunions, like, and he started hosting Watch What Happens Live because he was the executive producer at Bravo and the head man in charge is going to talk to all the people on the TV shows. It was like a genius idea. Along the way, he stopped being the head man in charge and we just like got the memo but chose not to read it.
Yeah, no, because it's like business stuff. It's in his book a lot too, because his book is like basically journal entries, and he journals around the time where he gets this huge deal with Bravo, where basically Andy runs Most Talkative Production Companies, which is a production company that puts on a lot of the Bravo stuff. And so he now, I think, works at the production company, but the production company has an overall deal with Bravo. So he's still very much connected to Bravo, but he's not in 30 Rock anymore.
Yeah. It's so B2B, you know?
It's an internal thing. It's a need to know thing.
Yeah, but I guess now we needed to know and he is sharing that information with us.
Well, then that sucks because he's getting the brunt of like everyone's frustrations like on social media when he's actually not the man who makes the decisions.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
I see you're changing your sheets back there. How's that going?
Yes, you know, part of being the host of this show and coming on here every day is like people know when like the frequency at which I change my sheets. So normally I would go like 3 weeks, but I've been really good like on a week to week basis.
That's really good. But you could always say like you change them in the afternoon, like you wanted the bed to be made for the show and then you were gonna, you know, like you could lie to us if you needed to.
Yeah, I could. But you know what? Like once I start lying, at least for me, it's just like a slippery slope to like lying to everyone about everything. And I don't want to like start the trend of like lying to the fans on the show, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I did my sheets yesterday and it was nice. It was nice.
I mean, there's literally nothing better than a fresh sheet.
It's true. Last night I slept quite well. Not gonna
lie. Oh my God, I was tossing and turning all fucking night. It was the worst night's sleep. Like I don't know what's wrong with me, but like I've been up all night like thinking, but I'm asleep. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. I wonder what
I need to like turn my brain off.
Yeah. Maybe you need to drink more water. Maybe you're dehydrated. I sleep like that when I'm dehydrated.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I have
because I sleep like that when I've been drinking alcohol.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I think that I just have like so much on my mind that I don't process during the day because I'm like actively trying to like fight out negative thoughts in my brain. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
So I actually...
Who could it be?
I actually have... Theo's
little barks. No, I love them. He has something to say.
Well, I have something to say. I actually have my first appointment for therapy next week.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. It's been something I feel like once I start talking, like then it'll get out of my brain and I can finally fucking sleep.
That's good. I'm proud of you for going. These past few months have been some of the most mentally trying. The most mentally trying. I've never experienced something like this in my whole life.
And I feel like it's that for everyone.
Yes, definitely. And you have to self-care, self-love, and you've got to.
Yeah.
Got to take the necessary steps.
I used to be one of the people who thought like therapy was for weak people. I'm like, I'm too strong, but like I'm not.
No, but it's not for weak people. It actually takes a really strong person to like recognize that they could benefit from talking to someone else.
Totally. Totally. I think like where my reservation is, I feel like now I'm in a therapy session. I have like all these thoughts in my brain that I'm like kind of embarrassed of. And like, I don't want the therapist to like tell anyone, like they're embarrassing.
Well, you know what I've learned from meme culture? It's that like we all have the same thoughts and the same weird thoughts. And like everything that you think or say that's like weird, someone else has thought the same thing or something weirder.
You know, that's a very interesting observation.
Yeah. I feel like I wouldn't be a good therapist, but I feel like I could be a good, I was going to say life coach, but I don't even have my own life together. So, but I guess I know, like, the steps that I could take.
Yeah. I bet you could find a very, a big amount of life coaches who don't have their lives together.
That's true. And I feel like you're just like setting yourself up for people to be like,
Well, that's like, if you're a matchmaker, you have to be married.
I don't think that's true. Cause when I think of old school matchmakers, you know, like from the shtetl, it was always just like an older woman in the community. And I don't know that she was always the married one, like in Fiddler on the Roof, you know?
Yeah.
That's always what I think about when I think of matchmakers. Okay. Are you ready for our next one?
I'm normal and I think of Patty Stanger.
I think of that first and then I'm like, okay, she trademarked it, but like there's a whole matchmaking that happened for centuries before her.
In shtetls and kibbutzes everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Okay, but our next story is another sweet one. Another, like, I guess, just piggybacking off of yesterday's story, Caitlyn Jenner's publicist is working overtime this week because Kendall and Kylie Jenner celebrate Pride and their dad, Caitlyn. They say, quote, she is our hero. So for Kendall and Kylie, the transition only brought them closer to their dad. Kendall said, when my dad came out as transgender, our relationship grew. She could finally be honest with me. We could talk about deep emotions she was feeling through that time. Growing up, my dad was not usually one to talk about her feelings, so that was a big step for us. Kendall says she's been a daddy's girl her whole life, and now their relationship grows every day. That is so cute. And Kylie had similar things to say about her relationship with Caitlyn. Quote, my dad has always been an inspiration to me, from winning the gold medal at the Olympics to getting her pilot's license. However, watching her live out her true self has been the most inspiring of them all. The sisters agree, quote, she's our hero.
Wait, that's actually really cute. And I guess it answers some of the questions we had yesterday about where the Kardashians landed in their relationship with Caitlyn. Sounds like, well, it's all Gucci.
The Jenner girls always had Caitlyn's back, and I think they were the most torn. Whereas the Kardashian girls were always Team Kris, but I think ultimately everyone wanted what was best for the Jenner girls, and therefore everyone has come together. And whenever I think about this family, I just think about Nobu Malibu for some reason.
Yeah, I feel that.
And I've just been seeing like pictures on Just Jared and stuff, and they're really like inspiring. Where like Demi Lovato and her boyfriend are leading Nobu Malibu, like people are going to restaurants. I don't know. I don't know. And then did you see the other day, like Kylie went to a club, Bootsy Bellows?
Excuse me?
I saw it on Daily Mail. Like she was with Phi, Kendall's friend. I think they like rented out the whole club and like went to the club.
Oh my God. Like that is the level of wealth I aspire to. And that's exactly how I would spend my fucking money. Like rent out the hottest club in town during quarantine.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like so jealous. How did I miss that?
I don't know. It was a very low-key story. I saw it on Daily Mail Snapchat. I should go there more often.
Oh, we were just talking about that. I mean, I don't have a Snapchat anymore because, like, it's not really, like, the platform I, like, live for anymore. It used to be. But when they launched that whole, like, Discover page with all these different media outlets, like, it was so unnecessary, except the Daily Mail story is just filled with, first of all, fabulous celebrity photos. So if you're like a pop culture enthusiast, you'll get the best paparazzi photos in all the land. And then they have like the weirdest stories, like cult family of 50s found in bunker in Idaho. Like they have the weirdest shit, this weirdest like science stories. Like it's actually just a fabulous roundup of what's going on in the world.
Yes, it very much is. I use Snapchat from time to time because I do like their camper filter. Oh, so yes. I head over that way on my phone.
If I've, you know, if spending so much time on TikTok has taught me anything, it's that the youths of our generation are actually still using Snapchat quite frequently.
Great. I'm happy for them. Know that I am.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for our next story?
No.
Why not?
Because I have something to say.
Say it. You should just let it out. That's the theme of this episode. Just let it out.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about this in therapy, but I guess I'll just say it here. Today's episode is brought to you by Noom. Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or a magic number on the scale. It's about building healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. If fitting into that favorite pair of jeans is your goal, great. But there are many reasons why you might want to practice self-care, and every person is different. Because everyone's different, Noom adjusts to your lifestyle. They teach you the psychology behind the decisions you make and then help you keep track of everything from workouts to steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes. Noom also connects you with a personally assigned goal specialist and a community of other Noomers, so you all have the support you need to empower change. So if you want to get in shape, start feeling better, there are many reasons why you might want to do that, but some of them could be better self-care, feeling confident in your clothing, having more energy, or just having an overall glow. The great thing about Noom is that you can integrate it in your life so you trust yourself to make better choices. Noom is not a diet. It is a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. It is the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. They teach you why you do the things you do and then empowers you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. We're all strapped for time, so Noom asks you to commit to just 10 minutes a day for yourself. You're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming, just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/toast. That's noom.com/toast. What do you have to lose? Visit noom.com/toast to start your trial today. That's noom.com/toast.
Love it. Sign on. Get your mind and your body right. I actually think that my quarantine like should be sponsored by Noom because it has been the best tool for me to just, I don't have such lofty goals. I just like want to maintain some sort of balance in my life in this very unbalanced time. And Noom has been a great aid in doing that.
And there are a lot of toasters who have had a lot of success with Noom. I think there's even a Facebook group.
Yes. Okay. Next story is just perfect. And in this vein, Lizzo is slamming body shamers in her new workout TikTok saying, quote, "I am beautiful. The only ideal body type for Lizzo is her own." The 32-year-old singer posted a video of her workout regimen to TikTok Tuesday, telling online body shamers that there's more to one's health than what's featured on the outside. So she posted a montage of her working out and over it, her saying, "Hey, so I've been working out consistently for the last 5 years, and it may come as a surprise to some of y'all that I'm not working out to have your ideal body type. I'm working out to have my ideal body type. And do you know what type that is? None of your fucking business," she said in a voiceover of the clip. "If you're not a fat shamer, keep scrolling. Okay, now that all the fat shamers are here." And she continued to say, "I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I do my job, and I stay on my job." I actually saw this TikTok in the brief amount of time I spend on TikTok, and I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, you know what? I have, like I said, been spending so much time on TikTok, and Lizzo is just a fabulous creator. Like, she's on all the trends. Like, she duets with her fans. Like, she's really, really good at it. But just in my time perusing TikTok, I can't tell you how many fat phobic like videos I see. And so many of them are about Lizzo. It's like so disrespectful. I wish that TikTok would, just like implement more like regulations just to like, it's weirdly this platform where young people are so creative, and like a lot of them use it to come out. Like, a lot of them are using it in these like beautiful creative ways. And then some of them, like, I see fat phobic shit once a day, maybe more times a day. Like, I don't even know why they're serving it to me. Like, why am I getting it? Why? Cause I'm fat. But like, it's just, they need to do a better job because so many young people are on this app and they're so influential that like, it's just really saying, it's like sending a bad message with how much fatphobic content is on there. Like, I can't believe some of the shit I see.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't seen a lot of that, but I imagine that you spend more time there, so you've seen more. And that ain't right.
That ain't right. But good for Lizzo for, first of all, like standing up to the haters and just doing it in a fabulous way. Like, this is what we said when we were talking about the BTS stans coming for us. Like, if you're going to come for us, like, you got to be creative. And they called us irrelevant uglies, which I actually really liked. So Lizzo is now coming for her haters, and she's doing it in a fabulous, creative, funny, smart, unique way. And that's really all we can ask for from our icons.
That's all we can ask for. And we're getting every bit of it.
Oh, you know what? We haven't spoken about Taylor Swift on here in a while, but I really want to share something that I saw on Facebook. Is that okay?
Yes, please share. We have not spoken about her in a while. And I think that's, I remember there was that week, like, I think it was maybe around like the Scooter Braun stuff where we were talking about Taylor Swift every single day. I think like people literally stopped listening because they couldn't take it.
Those were the days. Okay. So there has been this like Tumblr Reddit thread going around that someone who claims to be like super close to Taylor, like there's a big secret coming out. I can't, and what she wrote was like, I can't say anymore. This is Taylor's special moment, not mine. Stay alert in the coming weeks. After it happens, the clue I gave will make perfect sense. And this is the clue. The traditional beliefs, customs, and stories of a community pass through the generations by word of mouth. That's the clue. Okay. Now, everyone had different things to like guess what this meant. Nobody had my guess, and I'm like almost 100% sure that I'm right. So I just wanted to put it on this podcast in case that I'm right.
Okay.
So that definition, the traditional beliefs, customs, and stories of a community passed through the generations by word of mouth, is like the Merriam-Webster definition for folklore, which is irrelevant. I just thought that I would share. I don't know what that means. But
no, that's relevant. That seems relevant.
What's folklore?
The traditional beliefs.
So I really think, and I couldn't believe that nobody else thought this, that is pretty much like a word-for-word description of drag. Like, I think that she's going to be on Drag Race.
And you think that they would do this much hype?
Oh my God. Yeah. The Swifties are like so dramatic.
Okay.
What do you know why TBG, like, people think maybe she's pregnant. Like, I don't know. TBG explained to me how like drag is like the only art form left that you can't go to school for. Like, it really needs to be taught. That's why everyone has like drag mothers. They have like the same last name as people they worked with or people they met. And it, all the customs, like the makeup, all of that is really passed through by word of mouth because there is no like school of drag. So I thought that I might be onto something. And
that's a really great guess.
Thank you. So I just wanted to put it on the podcast, like in case she ends. And by the way, the new season of RuPaul All Stars started last week, so it's not so crazy.
I'm like really invested. That's a really interesting and good clue. You know, usually we get like 7 palm trees and then we're told 5 years later that it didn't mean anything.
People are saying like an engagement, maybe a pregnancy.
I don't think so. I thought when you first said that, I thought maybe a book.
Oh.
That's word of mouth.
So the girl who wrote it said something absolutely major is going to happen shortly. Can't tell you what it is, but it'll be a shocker. Cruel Summer is not being released as a single, according to my sources. Wish I was allowed to say more. So I don't think it's about music.
I don't think it's about music either, but it does seem like it's something really major. And I don't know if a guest spot on one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race is this. So
I agree. That was my only trepidation. It's like, it's not that big of a deal, but to the Swifties, like everything's a big deal every time you see Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. Okay. Now I'm in this. So please keep me posted. I need to close the circle on stuff. Like, I can't just leave these things open-ended, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, the traditional folklore.
Right. The traditional customs beliefs and traditional values.
Exactly. Okay, next story. Vogue's editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour, has apologized to her staff for not doing enough to elevate Black employees and models and for overseeing spreads that may have been seen as, quote, hurtful or intolerant over her 32-year tenure at the glossy magazine Vogue. She wrote a letter to her employees sort of apologizing. There has been a lot of stuff happening within Condé Nast. I just saw last night that now former employees are speaking up about their experiences. Wow. The editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit is out. There's an interim editor at the moment. But meanwhile, Harper's Bazaar has just appointed Samira Nasser to be editor-in-chief, the first woman of color to hold the prestigious title at the 153-year-old publication. So that's some good news.
That's like 152 years too late. Yes. But that is good news. We are moving forward. In terms of Condé Nast, like, honestly, Vogue is, like, it's fabulous, of course, but, like, it's also the pinnacle of, like, exclusivity. Like, the fashion industry, like, is notoriously non-exclusive to people of color, plus-size people. Like, this doesn't shock me.
I'm honestly not shocked. Inclusive. Sorry, you said not exclusive.
Oh, sorry. It's the pinnacle. No, I said it's the pinnacle of exclusivity.
Yes, and then you said the fashion industry is notoriously not exclusive to people of
color. I think I said non-inclusive.
Okay, this is being recorded, so.
I think I said it.
Okay, we'll find out.
Whatever. All I'm saying is that this isn't necessarily like the most shocking thing I've ever heard, but honestly, the fact that Anna Wintour is actually addressing it, that's what shocks me.
Yes, I agree. I think that she needed to address it because there's a lot of stuff within, like, not just Vogue, but within the company that is unacceptable. And so she wrote a very lengthy letter that was an email that was sent around to everyone where she says she, quote, takes full responsibility for those mistakes.
You know what? I feel like her time might be up soon.
Yeah, we say that every time that we talk about her on this show, which isn't that frequently. But you know what? Actually, I just downloaded Andre Leon Talley's book. And I remember seeing headlines, but not really reading the articles because I didn't know the backstory. But like, I think there's drama.
They had beef.
And so I'm going to read the book this weekend and I'll let you know like what the tea is.
I don't know why it is that like I dislike Anna Wintour. And I honestly, like, I know nothing about fashion, but I just like know she's not good at her job. I can't explain it. Like, I just know it in my bones. And I don't know. I just think it's time for like a new frontier. Like, she's just so old school. And is Meryl Streep's character supposed to be her? Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I just inherently don't like her.
Yeah. The Devil Wears Prada. Making her the devil.
But I actually just watched that movie and
it's been really on every single day.
They play it on E! Every day for the last 5 years. Like, but I actually don't regard it as one of my favorite movies. It's definitely in the genre of my favorite movies, like that kind of vibe. But I was just watching it and it's really such a fabulous movie. Except what really frustrated me about the movie, and it's like, you know, when you watch things with fresh eyes, like you see whole new lies. One of the most frustrating things of the movie is like her group of friends and her boyfriend were just like so not supportive of her career. And like they acted like she was just like selling out when she was like just trying to get by so she could do a year at this job and then get a better job. Like she was not an entrepreneur. She was just like had hustle and she was a hard worker.
She's ambitious.
Yes. And it's like everyone like faulted her for that. And to be honest, like that's the biggest problem with the movie. Like her group of friends were not supportive and they made her feel guilty for having passion.
No. And like for leaning into the job that she did have, like, yes, this wasn't the job that she wanted. She's not a runway girl, but you know what? She has to be here for a while and she's going to make the most of it and embrace the workplace. And they just like made her feel like garbage. And I didn't like that either.
Yeah. And then I was telling you this. Oh, I was on FaceTime with you. The character who plays like the writer for The New Yorker, that blonde guy, Christian, who like follows her around art galleries and like takes her to eat falafel in Paris. Yes. Like for my whole life, like up until maybe a year ago, I thought that guy was Billy Bush. They look so similar. And I've never been like super familiar with Billy Bush's work. I just know he's like curly and blonde. And this guy was curly and blonde. And I'm like, oh, how cool. The guy from Access Hollywood got a starring role in a movie.
Okay. Billy Bush is not blonde. I just want to say that. Like he's brunette. He's a brunette.
100% blonde.
Just do a quick Google. He's brunette for sure. But you actually touch on something quite poignant, that their facial structures, like if you buzz both of their heads, twins.
Okay, I just want to say, like, sometimes he's brunette and sometimes he's blonde. He definitely like bleaches his hair sometimes.
Billy Bush. Okay, let me look images. Oh my god, Claudia, like that's just not a blonde.
Whatever. I can't believe that. Like, it's like when I was younger, I used to really get confused between Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts. Like to me, they were never in the same room at the same time. Like they were just the same person. And I thought like all that confusion was behind me until Billy Bush and the guy from Devil Wears Prada.
No, that confusion catches up with us all the time. Like we're constantly mixed up.
So we kind of took a weird tangent, but basically Anna Wintour is terrible at her job. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little interesting museum news.
Ooh, a little museum news.
Museum news.
Yes, I'm totally ready. I love museums. My favorite.
Okay, cool. The Navici Museum is opening in Stockholm in 2021. A new museum dedicated to the life and music of Avicii will open in Stockholm, Sweden next year. Per a press release, the Avicii Experience will bring its visitors closer to the artist Avicii and the person Tim Bergling. The audience will follow Tim's journey from a reclusive music nerd to a celebrated superstar, from his boyhood room where it all began to the LA studio where the biggest hits were created. on display at the museum will be a mix of memorabilia and previously unseen photographs and videos. Exhibits will also offer visitors the chance to, quote, peer inside the creative process and the many collaborations behind the music. When the Avicii Experience opens, it will boast previously unpublished early version of Avicii's breakthrough hit Levels, as well as troves of previously unreleased music used to craft the 2019 posthumous album, Tim.
You know what's so funny is before he like had his surname, he was releasing music under the name Tim Berg. And I'll literally never forget. I never felt so stupid in my life. Like I had found like this old, when Avicii was popular, like I had found this like old house song on like YouTube or something. And I showed it to Ben. I'm like, do you know the song by Tim Berg? And he's like, that's Avicii. And I like literally felt so stupid. But I feel like not a lot of people know that.
No, not a lot of people know that. I do feel like I've heard that story before, but still feels like the first time.
It feels like the first time. You know what? I'm curious if this museum's going to have like a hallway dedicated to the mysterious death of Avicii, you know, because there are many conspiracy theories.
There are many conspiracy theories. Did you watch the documentary about him?
Mm-mm.
It was so good. I feel like I care so much more about this museum and Avicii and like the incredible talent that he was because I saw that documentary. Like it really gave me perspective into understanding like what a phenomenon he was, but also what he dealt with in his life. And I don't have plans to go to Stockholm anytime soon, but I would, if this museum were in New York, I would definitely go to it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, like, the arc of, like, music and just, like, where we've come from in the last, like, 20 years, Avicii was, like, the first person playing, like, beats on the radio. Like, now it's, like, popular. Every song has, like, a beat break, and, like, some songs don't even have lyrics. It's just beats. But, like, he was really the first person, and I remember when I first heard Levels, like, it was so revolutionary. Like, it was just beats. No words. Like it was really like a game changer. And the fact that they played it on the radio was so crazy. And it totally changed the landscape of like electronic and pop and like every type of music
dance
forever.
Music. Yeah, I agree. The song Levels like just shifted where we were going in terms of music. And
totally.
He's one of the greats. His story is just kind of like tragic and sad, but I'm glad there's going to be a museum that will celebrate his life and his
legacy.
Work. Yeah, I love this idea of doing museums for people. I've not really heard of this, but now I'm just like starting to think of other major celebrities or talents that I could like use a museum from.
Anthony Bourdain, Kobe Bryant. Yeah.
The Kardashians.
Okay, but they're alive.
I know, but like still that way they can like have input.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, not everyone can do it. Like you have to have accomplished so much. Like Avicii had fans like from all over the world, like millions and millions. Like this is actually going to be a popular tourist destination for Stockholm.
Yeah. And now it's reminding me of the Taylor Swift like reputation. It wasn't a museum, but it was sort of set up like one. Yeah. And I went to that and it was great. And so I like this idea.
Yeah. Also the Game of Thrones museum that was also a pop-up was fabulous. I sat on the Iron Throne. There's a picture somewhere.
Yeah. Fabulous. So those are the past five stories, and I feel as though that you needed to know them.
Oh, okay. Well, I have some TV I want to recap, but before we do, today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. For all of our sakes, we need to avoid crowds any way we can right now. But what if you need to go to the post office? What if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Don't worry, Stamps.com is here to help. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and skip the lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can eventually save some money with discounts that you can't get at the post office. And if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discounts up to 62% and no UPS residential surcharges. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer in the safety and comfort of your own home, office, or anywhere else you're hunkering down right now. Whether you're a small business sending invoices or online seller shipping out product, or you're just working from home and need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just leave it in your mailbox, for your mail carrier, schedule a free pickup or drop it in a mailbox. No human contact is required. It's that simple. And like we said, with stamps.com, you get great discounts too, 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 62% off shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, especially now, saving you time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy, unprecedented times. Right now, our listeners can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in toast. That's stamps.com, and enter toast on the microphone at the top of the page. Stay safe, my friends. Stamps.com. Thank you, Stamps.
Thank you, Stamps.com. They are so pertinent to the situation right now because when I walk down the street, the only place that has a line around the block is the post office and people trying to send out packages. And with Stamps.com, like, skip the lines, send the packages.
And by the way, now at like UPS and the post office, there's only one person allowed in at a time. So like you have to wait outside. So if it's right. Hot, like, oh no, my God.
The lines are around the block.
Torture.
It's like the hottest club in town.
Okay, so quickly, I watched Watch What Happens Live last night, and they had Tamron Hall and Candy Burris talking, like, pop culture, but also, you know, the current climate, what's going on in the world. And there was actually a very, very sweet moment. And everyone makes fun of Candy on Real Housewives of Atlanta for crying, like, all the time. But she cried on Watch What Happens Live, and it was, like, so like, everyone got choked up because Andy was like, they both have young kids. And they're like, how do you explain, like, what's going on, you know, to your kids? And, like, how do you teach him about racism? Because this is something they're, you know, sadly going to face. And Candy was like, you know, we had such a uncomfortable conversation and, like, a sad one because their son, who's super young, like, just dressed up as a cop for career day. And she was, like, trying to explain to my son that, like, a cop did a bad thing. Was like, it was like his whole belief system was, like, shaken up, and, like, everyone was just, like, crying at this story. And, like, honestly, I was crying too. Like, it was so sad and, like, just such a real, like, those are conversations that, like, Black families, Black parents have to have with their children. And it was honestly just, like, heartbreaking.
Wow. That's really sad.
But it was a good episode, actually. Tamron Hall is, like, super cute and she's, like, funny, and it was a good episode. It was they're doing Watch Robins Live from home still, and Andy's in the Hamptons, and honestly, Andy just, he feels, like, a little checked out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have it recorded, so I will watch, but they didn't recap any TV, did they?
No, and I was really watching to see if Andy was going to make a comment on any of the Vanderpump Rules drama, or if Candy was going to say something, because on that Instagram post on the Bravo TV Instagram where they made the announcement about the firing, like, so many cast members from different shows were, like, leaving comments, like, in support of, and Candy was one of them. So I was just curious if, like, anyone was going to bring it up.
Yeah, but they didn't. They didn't. Okay, well, I guess that's why Andy brought it up on his radio show this morning.
And I guess, like, Andy's just trying to, like, distance himself as, like, the decision maker. Yes. And if he addresses it, then it's, like, it's on him to address when it's not his decision and it's not his show.
And then it's on him to address, like, every time something happens and he's trying to let people know that he's not in that role. So I guess that makes sense.
Where are you at on Potomac?
I'm like towards the end of season 2, but they're about to go to Bermuda, and Giselle and Monique are still, like, at odds. I hope eventually one day, like, right now their beef is just sort of surface, and I feel like they're just not understanding each other from the get-go, but I think that they'll come together. It seems like that happened season 1, 2. That always happens where, like, a new person comes in and someone's just, like, standoffish towards them just because.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, Giselle's my favorite, but I don't always, like, agree with what she does or says. I just, like, love her, and I gravitated towards her from the very beginning. But she can be, like, a little harsh.
I totally agree. And that's what I was saying when I said season 1, like, she was my favorite, but pretty much every argument she was in, I just wasn't on her side, you know?
Yeah, which is weird because I'm used to, like, standing for people who I just, like, apologize for and agree with, like, everything they say. But with Giselle, it's like, I just see past it. Like, I just love her.
You know who I happen to agree with, like, a lot of the time on the show so far? Ashley Darby.
I knew you were going to say that.
I just think she is always making sense, whether she's, like, fighting with someone or fighting with her husband. She's just or, like, talking about her restaurant.
Just wait. Okay, you're going to feel dumb for saying that.
But up until this point, like, she's constantly making sense.
Okay. Well, I actually got a DM from a toaster who lives in Potomac saying that Oz is like out of business. It's been out of business for a while. And like, it was a desert land restaurant when it was up in business, which is sad because honestly, like I was ready to take a road trip with you. We're just too late.
Okay. I could see how that happens. She just did like this rebrand and she added like some flatbreads to the menu and people were excited about it. And I think so far, like my favorite person on the show is Chris Samuels. Please don't like say anything.
There's no, he's good.
Are they okay? Just tell me, are they still together?
Yeah, she just added another baby.
Okay, good. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, great. I'm excited.
I love them as well. And you know what? I've never been to like a housewife restaurant. And actually, that's not true. You and I had drinks once at AOA, which was that restaurant Ramona pretended to be like an investor in like 10 years ago in Tribeca. It's actually fabulous bar.
And we've been to Sir and we've been to Pump.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. But I honestly really want to go to OLG Candy's restaurants. Like they look so good and they all stay open for the most part. And they've been open for quite some time. And she keeps like opening new franchises. So like, honestly, it looks so good.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited to keep watching. I have a lot of time today and I'm going to hopefully get into season 3, but we'll see. There's always like reunions and
yeah. We'll see. I have like nothing to watch. I found myself like literally all day yesterday laid in bed on my phone. I tried again to watch 13 Reasons Why and I'm still on the first episode. Like it's just so bad. And you know what? I think it's because I dislike everyone. Like Clay, the main character, like least favorite human being, like keeps making bad decisions and like the whole show revolves around him and I'm just done.
I understand.
And that's that on that.
That's that on that. I think that's all.
Anything else we wanted to talk about today?
No, I think that is all she wrote.
My comedy special is available for pre-order. You can find it on iTunes, Claudia Ashray, Disgraced Queen. It's also on my Instagram. I would really appreciate it. And that's all we got. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places, wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys very, very much. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow for our final show of the week.
Bye.